Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Millennial in the Middle. I'm Connor DeLynn, and today I'm going to play for you an interview I just did with Kiana Lee Sarmiento. I had to practice that, and I did it right. Kiana Lee is a go-getter. She's 22 years old. She's half Peruvian, half American, and she, at like 19, decided, you know what? I want to be a computer developer. I want to get into the world of coding and jumped into the tech space. And in the last few years has done some really cool things, including her desire to create a community and to help be a representative of those that are underrepresented in certain areas. She runs a chapter of an international organization here in Utah called Latinas in Tech. And it's pretty cool to see the connections she's made there and her why behind doing it. And in this conversation, we get into, you know, kind of some of our typical topics about this new generation's way of thinking, how that's changed. But what's unique about this is she actually talks about how generational ways of thinking and race play a role. She compares her thought processes of her American grandparents compared to her Peruvian grandparents. And, you know, her Peruvian grandparents were born in Peru, lived in Peru, were immigrants here. Her parents were born in the United States, but still very tied to that. And she's now that third generation born here, obviously, the second generation born here, the third generation of the three I just discussed. But she has a perspective that I think has a lot of depth to it, and then has some great advice for young people that are just looking to get out there and find what they love and do it well. Her advice that she'll tell you at the end is to just send it. And I love that send it mentality. I hope you enjoy this interview. Here we go. Kiana Lee, thanks for joining the show. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So we've got a lot to dive into today. I love that you're just a 22-year-old. I always talk about ages on this show, right? Like, this is Gen Z and it's prime, just going out there and getting things done. And you chose right off the bat to go into tech. You do not fit the typical stereotype, I would think, for a computer developer. What led you to say tech is where it's at?
Oh, that's such a good question because, yeah, I definitely, like, running on the street, you would not be like, oh, she's definitely a computer programmer, 100%. Yeah. To give a quick story, a really long story, pretty short, I ran into, at an event, to Randy Zuckerberg.
Okay.
And she was like, she's the CMO of Facebook. Okay. Like, hey, I want to be a baller like you. Yeah. Like, what did you do to get there? And she literally turns to me and she says, oh, just like learn how to code. Like, that's what you need to do. Just like take a few coding classes and then that'll like help set you apart. And I was like, ma'am, no. Like, that's definitely not what I wanted to hear. Because I'm like, when you think of, okay, so when you think of a typical programmer, you think of someone there and like, you know, in the basement, like with a hot pocket and like some freaking Lays or something, just like doing this thing. I was like, no, that's not gonna happen. But you know, when you hear something from like someone like Randy Zuckerberg, you're going to listen, right?
Yeah.
So after that, I took after the summer after I graduated high school, I took a boot camp and did a few other ones, certifications after that, and I honestly just kind of fell in love with it.
Really?
It was
really
fun.
What was it that you fell in love with? Is it the problem solving aspect or the visionary side? What was it?
Well, honestly, I have always had a pretty logical brain. Like, when I think about arguments, it's always like if then, right? Like, I always win arguments because I'm very logical, right? So because of that,
unless you're talking to emotional people and you might win the argument, but they're not going to admit it. All right.
That's true. Depends on who you're talking to.
Right? Yeah.
No, but, I grew up in a home where it was always like, I wanted to be an astronaut growing up, but I get like really bad motion sickness. So like that was really like, I was off the table really, really early. So it was an opportunity to kind of speak to that like logical side of my like brain and also just the cool space STEM. Like I thought, I felt pretty cool just like knowing how to code and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was honestly just the options that it opened. And then on top of that, the tech industry in itself, once I got to know about it more, I was like, okay, this is where I definitely want to be. Like, this is really cool.
That's interesting. You know, a lot of times people talk about like this upcoming Gen Z that's coming into the workforce and like almost talk like a lot of us drop out of school, you know, and we're not focused in the same way of like learning skills like a lot of people might think. And I think older generations will look at that and say, you know, they haven't been to school. They haven't learned this or that. But I thought what you just said was so interesting right there. Like you went to a coding boot camp, like you wanted to get that specific about one thing. What was that experience like? And how do you think now, I mean, like the world of YouTube University, like teach stuff, not necessarily in the traditional ways?
Well, there's a lot of points to that question because it really becomes to like a scenario, situation by situation basis. So specifically within technology, there it's innovating so fast. And it's something that common knowledge in the industry is it's innovating so fast. It's so hard to have a universe that like keeps up with that, right? Yeah. So specifically why I did the boot camp was A, because I had a scholarship, right? And it was an opportunity that I saw. And after that conversation with Randy, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But then I furthered it and got my certification. But I guess like, what's really interesting about where we're at, I think, as society is we're innovating so at such a fast pace that it's really hard to keep up with that. But then at the same time, like you don't want a self-proclaimed doctor to like come do surgery for you.
For sure.
So it's like multifaceted in the sense that depending on like where, at least my opinion is like depending on what your field of study is, you know, you can find that on the internet so easily and so openly. But at the same time, it's like, I think it's rewarding people that put effort. I think at the end of the day, that's all this is. Cause you know, university school is really great. And I think depending on what you want to do, you want to go that route. I'm in school right now. I'm majoring in computer science, even though I already did bootcamp just cause I love the super like low level stuff.
Yeah.
It's really hard to, you know, search things up on YouTube that are extremely low level.
Yeah.
You can find it, but it can be difficult. But then the system rewards people that are active and they're trying to do the best. I think that's what, you know, my generation or younger folks see. They see that this opportunity is just accessible.
Yeah.
Therefore, they're going full throttle with it, right? Like, why would I wait 4 years to learn something that I can just dedicate a few months to, right?
Yes.
But then there is a time and a place. I genuinely believe that, you know, depending on your educational goals is what route you'd want to take, having been through both, you know?
Well, I think that's a great example. I mean, I get a lot of questions from young people who are like, oh, what do I do? How do I jump into it? They're like, go to school. And I think what you just shared there is you went and learned something early and then jumped into the workplace, right? Yeah. Like go learn, go be around people, go see the day to day, but you're still in school, right? And you're not throwing that out. So I think that's, you know, what you've explained so far is a really good balance of that. And, you know, my next question is, I know we're going to talk a lot about diversity today. And I feel like you allow us to be able to talk about several different angles of this, of diversity, with race, diversity with gender, and diversity in age in these businesses you've been. So first off, like, what has it been like to come into this world as a Latina young woman?
That's a very interesting question. Which is, it's, so I'm half American, half Peruvian, right? And I think, that has put me in a really incredible position that I can understand was a lot of sides. Like, yes, I grew up, you know, going to American barbecues and enjoying 4th of July, but then also you sure as heck believe that I was there dancing till 2 a.m. with my abuelitos at some party, like, you know, salsa or whatever. So having that both sides, I think, you know, there's a lot of, I just feel really humbled to come from a place where I can understand both. So in the day and age where there are a lot of these conversations happening, especially with my specific use case of the tech industry, it feels really empowering. You know, a lot of people look at that as a disadvantage. And I think that's something that a victim mindset is I feel like is sold a lot to a lot of different underrepresented communities. But I think to look at it as an empowerment thing, like, you know, growing up, I was definitely the different one in class. You know, the diversity check mark, I guess you could say. But instead of looking at that as like, oh, poor me, I'm different, I was like, no, I'm the freaking Bugatti in the parking lot. Are you kidding? Like, I'm the different thing, you know? Yeah. It depends on where you are, too. Like, I was you know, born and raised in Utah, and so that made it so.
Yeah, see, I feel like the Bugatti when I go to Asia, you know, the blonde hair sticks out here, not so much.
Yeah, so it depends on, like, you know, you got to read the room situation. But I just feel with having this background, it's, specifically with both, it's like I feel like my mission is just to connect the two and really bring those sides together instead of look at like the differences and whatnot.
Yeah. I love what you said there about the victim mindset, right? Because it's so easy to, you know, take that mindset, and it's hard for people that are in the majority to know how to respond to that, right? Like, true. What more do you say other than, I'm sorry, or we're trying. And I love people that go and take action and bring things to, hey, we're not just going to talk about this. Let's recognize it. Let's not sweep it under the rug. Let's know that it's there and then do our best to just build and further make progress. Yeah. And that's what you did with your involvement in Latinas in Tech.
Exactly.
You started this really, really young. Like, tell me, one, what is Latinas in Tech and how did you get involved?
Yeah, so it was, I was 19 at the time.
Okay.
And it was actually during all of, it was just so interesting that you say like action-based, because that's literally how I felt. There was a lot that was going on in, and look, I'm a very like logical person, very facts-driven, numbers-driven in many ways. So it was 2020.
Okay.
The summer 2020.
It's when this podcast started. Everyone was, the temperatures were hot.
Everyone was like, side hustle, let's go. Which actually, there was a really interesting podcast I was listening to that was like, it was about Web3 stuff. And it was like in a winter or something where there's like a lot of like people are closed off. That's when a lot of ideas come, because like, it's just like, it's just a shift in priorities and like realizing, oh shoot, I don't have that much time in my life. I got to do something dope. Yeah. Right. So I guess that's kind of what happened in my situation.
Yeah.
A lot of things were going on with Black Lives Matter and the whole George Floyd situation. And I was like, okay, in Utah, statistically, there isn't that many Black people, but there are a lot of Latinos. So I'm like, in my community, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
Having being a part of that community, I was like, and specifically with technology and like the different use cases for that, I was like, okay, that's there needs to be something happening there. I was definitely the only Latina in a lot of different, you know, techie situations and different meetups, and you know, not just, it's one thing about being like the only woman, and it's another thing when you're like the only like diverse, like, you know, colored or whatever. So at that rate is when I was like, okay, if there's something that I can do to help this whole situation, it's definitely within my community, which is, you know, the Latinas in Tech. So Latinas in Tech is an international organization. Their whole mission is to bring us together, bring us Latinas together in technology, but also help create opportunities and resources for them to grow within the tech industry.
That's really cool. And so at 19, you were like the head of this chapter. Is that right? Here
so
in Utah?
There had been another two ladies, Donnelly and Cynthia, that had reached out kind of in the same time I did.
Yeah.
And so they put us all together and we're like, okay, we're going to do it. So even though it's COVID, we couldn't like meet up with anyone. We're like, we're going to do this. So, we got, I think our first event was later that year. And so that was, you know, we at least planted the seed there, got the, you know, conversation going and all that one and whatnot.
That's awesome. So explain to me then, like, who do you reach out to? Are these like high school kids, or do you go to people that are currently in the community working? Like, where, how does that community get started?
Yeah. Latinas in Tech is more focused on like ladies that are already in industry. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of other, there's so many sides to why there isn't diversity in tech, really. Yeah. So they're specifically tackling the, why people come and sometimes don't stay or don't feel like they belong. And that's just people like Latinas already in it. Women in general, you know, there's just a lower demographic, but then also upskilling and like breaking through the, you know, the glass ceiling, like they say. So it's kind of more focused on that end, but I know that like, there's so many efforts to get younger kids in there. Cause like, how do we even hire more people in technology if there's not even a pipeline to get them in there, or they're not even exposed to it? Right. So
that's awesome. So different ways to learn, different ways to get involved with that. So talking about diversity generally, I know this is like the dumbest question I'm about to answer here, but I really do want to hear your insights. Like, you hear a lot about diversity in the workplace. Mm. Why is that so important? And I don't ask that question as like, you know, it's a bad question for me to ask, but I think you know what I mean. Like,
no.
It's something that we're striving for. Why?
Yeah, well, I go down to like, well, why are you even asking? And I'm not saying like you in general. I'm just saying like, why is this even a problem in the first place?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy, right? Like,
yeah.
You would think especially in a country like this, where there's so many like different people from all over the world, where, you know, this country is founded on immigrants themselves, right? So
Absolutely.
It's like, how did this even get there? And I think, so, you know, the importance of diversity is just bringing back something that we should have already really had. And what's beautiful about technology and why I love it so much is because if you think about it, like back in, you know, I don't know, like the 17th century, there was like coffee, what they call them, coffee shops. And like different people from around the community would come and meet up at these like newfound coffee shops. Mm-hmm. And they just talk about all these ideas. And that's where a lot of tech, quote unquote tech, of course, it's not like computer CPUs and all that stuff, but it was like new ideas, right? So I think tech really has always benefited off of having multiple different backgrounds and multiple different ideas like coming together into to create something better. Like that's how we progress as human, as humans and as a society, right?
Sure. I love that. I think that's a really good thing that we don't talk about enough, like especially in these industries where innovation rules the day and yes. where you are coming up with new ideas. If you have 10 people in a room that all have a very similar background and experience and way of looking at the world, that's going to be stale, what comes out of that group. But having those different ideas to be able to then bring that together, I mean, it's the whole point of this show, right? Like the value of listening to someone's experience that's different than your own with the desire to learn, listen, and understand.
Yeah. Well, Kate, honestly, if you think about it, like Columbus literally said the sale, like said, sales on the sea to find different spices because he was, I guess they were sick of like...
He thought he was going to India too. He thought he got there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like people like just having diversity in that regard. Like I feel like sometimes people look at it as like really intimidating and like, oh, like this big problem. But like it just has so many different aspects to it in the sense that like not only in technology, but in just in life in general, like, you know, the food is so much, you know, food is so much better when you have different like spices from different places. Yeah. You know, maybe I reference that because I'm Latina and that's all I think about.
Or we're hungry.
But you know what I mean? Like there's just, it's beautiful when you have all these different, I guess, flavors and whatnot. So it helps in a very logical way, but then just, I think in a fulfillment in life, just having all these different diverse, like points of views and experiences and whatnot.
Yeah. And I think our world is trending to be more diverse, right? I think borders are kind of a thing that have been of the past, you know, that all of a sudden we have the ability through technology, through social media to connect with people that live all over the world, right? And I think there's so much value in, you know, social media lets us in to people's lives.
Yeah.
Where I always compare, you know, if you were to look at older generations, you know, in the 50s, a second grader, who were they exposed to? Well, their teachers at school, their community, their family. That was about it. Maybe what they heard on the radio or the TV show at night.
Yeah.
But now, like that second grader can see ideas and watch YouTube videos from all over. And I think that it's just allowing that free marketplace exchange of ideas to take place, which is really exciting. And I hope continues.
No, that's how we, I mean, at a really like meta level, like that's how we progress as like humans. It's literally just the faster we can get through as many ideas as possible, the more we'll innovate.
So I love that.
So like that's what the internet, you can look at the internet as a very negative way, or you can, if you're an, you know, opportunist, you can look at it as like, wow, now there's just more and more information out there to just, you know, iterate through and progress.
Yeah. It reminded me, I know Mark Zuckerberg, and we talked about Facebook earlier, but his big slogan for a while was move fast and break things. Mm-hmm. You know, like don't be afraid to make a mistake. Don't be afraid to be wrong. Like that's okay. And that's huge. It in a community where you're okay when someone is wrong and you figure out how to be right together.
Yeah.
Before we started the show, I told you quickly, I'm like, you know, I talk a lot about generational differences. And then you brought up, you said generational differences in race actually plays quite a role here. I'm really curious to know your thoughts on that. And I don't know where you'd want to start here, but how do you feel like older generations are affected in the way they think as it applies to race?
So I've been, you know, through just to set this clear from this before I go dive into this, you know, everyone has such different opportunities or experiences in their lives. And that's what makes, you know, life so beautiful. So my experience was, it could be very different than someone else, but this is just me expressing what I've noticed and the readings and life that I've been through, you know, and I've, you know, have other family members and friends that are in the same community as I am, and they feel the same way. But, you know, this experience could feel very different to someone else. Right. So just putting that out there as like a disclaimer or whatever, but what's interesting is when I have conversations with my American grandparents versus with my Peruvian grandparents, unfortunately there's been so much like survival mode on my Peruvian side because they've had like just years and years of like being immigrants. And before that, like trying to survive. And like my grandpa was born into a dirt floor, one bedroom. I mean, like, literally their house was the size of this room. Like he was begging on the streets. Now he's, you know, in a lot better place. Now he's retired here, has his house in the States. Like this is, you know, he's done well, but there's a lot of that like mindset so I think that's honestly a huge part of, in Kianli's perspective, of why there's such a lack of diversity in tech, because tech is so risky. Like if you think about it, like, you know, if you're going to become, there's always going to be a need for doctors, but what if like dot-com bubble and like all these crazy things have happened in the last like 20 years with how much innovation, it's like, oh, let's play it safe and like just become a doctor or just become this. Right.
Interesting.
And so I feel like a lot of, I think as I've had seen people and I have friends who maybe didn't choose to take certain career routes because they wanted to play the safer route. Cause that kind of pressure came from that generation of surviving, just trying, which makes total sense. Are you kidding?
Absolutely.
Like, I totally understand where that comes from. Whereas like, so it really, I think it depends on like where like the generation was raised and like the circumstances they were raised in to kind of lead to that. If that makes sense.
Oh, for sure. That dawned on me as you said that. I recently put out a video where I was talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, and at the bottom of that pyramid, you have, you know, safety, those physiological needs. Then you move up to love, esteem, belonging, and ultimately self-actualization at the top.
Yeah.
And I said that, you know, older generations had to be more focused on the lower end of that pyramid. Right. Mm-hmm. And you can't blame them for that.
Totally.
But this progress that we're seeing now is people that are valuing, like they have their safety taken care of. They are not worried about being hungry. So they're trying to be fulfilled and find belonging and community.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a great visual to look at your grandparents. And it was like, they valued success and safety and food, you know, food in their homes and a roof over their heads. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And by that metric, they were really successful, you know, and it's cool to give them credit for that. Like from where you came from to where you are, high five. I hope I can progress that much in my life.
Oh, it's so interesting too, because it's like, I find so much motivation that comes from that.
Yeah.
Like when a lot of people ask like, well, what pushes you to continue working hard? I'm like, just look at the people that came before me. Like, are you kidding? They're complete ballers. Like, I've got a lot to do in my life. You know what I mean? And so, but also what's interesting, I guess, going to that whole conversation about like the hierarchy and things like that, of needs and whatnot. And I feel like, you know, I've done a lot of reading and like research about like energy and like how that passes through generations, all that kind of stuff. I feel like that's something that like, specifically my generation, especially like there's a lot. So this is really interesting. There's a lot of Latinos that were born like in South America, in the Caribbean, in Latin America, who've come here and like their parents are the ones that came here. But the second generation, we're seeing that they're, you know, most of them are being born here in the States. So that creates a different dynamic where they understand this culture from the background, but then they aren't necessarily born there. So it's like, you're not necessarily from there, but then you do get it. It's this really weird dynamic. And so it's like, how do you stop those traumas from the past to continue because you're not in that same environment, right?
Yeah.
So I see a lot of that happen where it's like overcoming that. And that's why I think giving people opportunities to overcome that, like if they don't even know that that's something they got to work towards or work over, then it's like, then we're just going to have continual cyclical generational problems because it's like that mindset has never changed, has never left, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's pretty big, you know, like, it has to do with emotions. It has to do with surviving. It has to do with, you know, family and like all these generational things. But I think that's how we will progress as a community. And that only helps us become better players and better contributors to society.
Yeah. You just got me really excited saying that because I'm a huge believer in energy.
Yeah.
And obviously generational theory, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, if I'm hearing you right there, you're basically saying that, you know, just one generation apart had completely different upbringings, perspectives. So what strains does that then put on your relationship with your parents and what you might expect of your children? And so what do you think is the biggest difference between that like first generation immigrant who they were born somewhere else and had the experience of coming to America? And then I guess the first generation of, you know, being born here, where do you think that disconnect might come?
That's a very interesting question. I think it's just the lack of, or the difference in your, like your surroundings and your, cause like the frame of mindset here in the States and even in different states is going to be very different. Right. But the frame of mindset here is very different than it would be in like Peru or Brazil or whatever, or Sao Paulo or something. So at that rate, it's like, what I think you are such a product of like the people you're, you know, of course you surround yourself, that community that you're surrounded yourself by. So I think I hope I'm answering your question and please ask me again or help me correct, make sure I'm answering it correctly, but just answering to the point. I just feel like the biggest difference is just that mindset that presides within that community they're already in or living in. Right.
Yeah.
Like for example, there are a lot of things that like, okay, the whole school, the school use case, for them, like going to, like, my grandparents going to even university was a big deal. Like not everyone went to university. Whereas here, it's sure. like everyone, it's the point where everyone goes to university where like some people don't want to go anymore. You know what yeah. I mean? It's a completely different cycle, a completely different vibe. So, but then, you know what I mean? So I think that's, those are some interesting kind of insights, I think, on how those differences have come about. It's just literally what you're surrounded by. I feel like, so you have to be just super aware of that. So when you're like, whether you're having conversations with people that come from different backgrounds, it's like, okay, well, where did you, like, where, there's a book by Oprah Winfrey. It's like, what happened to you? That's what mm-hmm. I always think too. It's like, what environment were you in to then for you to kind of think that way or act in that certain way?
Yeah. I love that. And I think it's such a good reminder, like, any good parent is going to be motivated by the thought that they want their children to have a better life than totally. Them, right? I think that's just an innately human characteristic. And I think we've had that over and over again. And it's so interesting to now see, like, you being that third generation after your grandparents mm-hmm. of, you know, you now are raised by parents that were raised here and you're one step further removed from Peru, but you want to keep that mm. connection. That's still a part of your identity and that's a part of who you are. And so, you know, showing up in life fully authentic to who you are,
yeah.
I think is really interesting. So you just kind of blew my mind on some of those concepts right there.
Well, it took me a long time to be really like super pumped about who I was. Cause like, I felt like because of the surroundings I was in, I was like, oh, I got to kind of fit in. I got to make yeah. sure. And I, like, it wasn't until a lot older that I was like, no, like, I'm different. That's a good thing. You know what yeah. I mean? And like, to take pride in that. And I think that's something that, you know, I think it's a humble pride. I think there's extremes on both ends. Right. But yeah, there's so much beauty in like just really embracing like your truest potential, which is, I think people realize their truest potential when they really recognize who they are, who they themselves are, like who you genuinely are, like what Deepak Chopra talks about, just like your inner self, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and that honestly has to do with a lot with your culture too, right? That has a massive play in it, but yeah.
I love it. Let's talk for a minute about then being a woman, right? Mm-hmm. So it's Latinas in tech, you know, we were talking about women that are in this world. And I'm curious too, are there differences between your American grandparents and your Peruvian grandparents in how they view like the role of a young woman that's getting into the workplace and wanting to be involved in that? Or do you feel they're the same?
I think a lot of it is now maybe like, that's interesting. Cause I think they have been, my grandparents, like things that my great grandpa would tell my grandma, like I would be like, what the, that's not cool. Like,
for sure.
Like you don't need to go to school. Like you'll be married and it's fine. It's yeah. like, what? Like, are you kidding? But I think now it's a lot of the same because I think society just continually progressed. However, I think they're genuinely invested in who I am and want to become my best. I haven't found the crazy differences, but what I have seen differences is in like how to present yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so funny. Like there's such stereotypical things that like still I feel like happen, which are good. That's what make us who we are, you yeah. know, like, you know, whether it's like doing the makeup and the hair, it's like silly stuff like that, that yeah. like, of course Latinas are going to be, and this is, you know, a blanket statement. Some Latinas might not identify with this, but like, it's just who we are. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like those little things like characteristics or like, my dad, for example, he didn't teach me how to drive until I learned how to cook. Like that might be a different for, you know, someone who's like fully American or whatever, you yeah. know, fully Polynesian like that. I don't know if that would have been a thing there, but like things like that, that are just very cultural, which I'm not necessarily mad about, but they do add, there's different expectations sometimes.
Yeah. I feel like I should give you my car keys because I definitely wouldn't qualify to drive if that were the criteria there.
Right.
One of the things you're very passionate about, obviously, is community and the importance of building connections with each other, bringing people together. Why is community to you so important, you know, enough to join, you know, like start this, bring people together and mm-hmm. actually take action?
Yeah. So, Latinas in Tech, I'm more of an advisor now, right? But now I'm kind of doing my own organization that's more just multicultural in general because yeah. I think just immigrants in general need help to get in tech and everything. So this is kind of like the second community that I'm building out along with other communities that I'm part of. But I'm so passionate about it because literally like we cannot progress unless we learn from others. Like that's why I love this podcast. And that's why like I love people that do these kinds of things because I mean, ideas like only become better once we hear about them from others, right? So that's one side of it, is that belonging side and the innovation side of it, why I think community is so important. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like someone could call me like a very big workaholic if we're really? Going to be honest, okay. just because I love working.
Yeah.
I love it. But I have learned there's only so far you can go in life if you just do things by yourself, right?
Yep.
There's so much more enjoyment, so much more like actual physical, like, or tangible improvements when you do have others a part of your life that help you, and like mm-hmm. you have a community to kind of bounce ideas off and grow and whatnot. And that's what I think I want for everyone, is to have a place where they can, my biggest mission in life is just bring people together, because in that way they can grow. Like, there's not, I don't know everything, but I can help someone else who knows something to help another person that needs something, right? Yeah. Just bringing them together. Cause that's what makes us human, right? Is that emotional connection and growth. So very logically there's pros to, like, very, yeah. you know, point blank, very blunt. There's very good pros and cons to have knowing more people. And then also just like, it's just who we are as humans to want to associate and whatnot.
Sure. I love how you said that, because I'm a huge believer in the fact that we can learn from people that we might be most unexpected to learn from. Right. And I think society often tries to get us to think like, oh, well, these are the people that should be mentors and these are the students and you've got to check X amount of boxes and get to this point before you can be in teacher mode, someone worthy of learning something from. And I think more and more so, and diversity is probably a leading charge in this, is we all have times where we are the teacher and the student,
yeah.
right? We all have times where, you know, I have something that I can give to you and you have something that you can give to me. And there's this free to exchange that takes place there. And I think it only happens when we communicate with each other and we know who each other are and we know what we are passionate about, what value we feel we can bring to another person. And I think is you now, you know, a 22-year-old person, you're serving as a mentor to a lot of people that might even be older than you, right? Mm-hmm. But being willing in the same breath to learn and to know that you're young, to know that there's still so much you can do. I really commend you for that mindset.
Thank you.
Do you think that's something that your generation just has more than others?
You know, that's a very fascinating question, because there are, I think, limiting beliefs that have been in previous generations where they're like, oh, I can't do something until I reach this point. And then you see like Tony Robbins, who came out of like this older generation, or like some really, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, right? Like those yeah. guys are like legends because they completely went against the mold, right? And so I think back then, like, it wasn't, I don't think there was as many, like, nowadays everyone, their dog is a hustler. Everyone, their dog, you know, is out there starting businesses, doing their thing, right? Because, you know, they're okay with going against the mold. And I think back then that was a limiting belief. It's like, oh no, success only looks like X, Y, Z. There's no other colors, there's no other numbers, no other letters, right? Hmm. Whereas nowadays, I think because of the access to internet and all these different things, our generation grew up with like, oh wow, like I can see someone who's my age doing these cool things on another side of the world. Why wouldn't I do that? Like, that makes total sense. Whereas maybe before, you had to go to school to do that. And then you had to work 10 years in this place. And then you had to go to this corporate ladder. And no, like, I think that mentality is, it's maybe for some people it works for them, but I don't think that's a thing. Like, I really think that there's so many opportunities out there that there doesn't need to be, it's not a mold that everyone has to fit. You know, it's very flexible, very amendable.
Yeah. I've asked that question to several members of Gen Z now and gotten a very similar response. Mm-hmm. And it's, there isn't a playbook.
Yeah.
Right? Or the playbook that you're given to us, like, no thanks. We're going to do it our way. We're going to break the mold. We're going to find what we value and find fulfillment from. And I think it's just so cool to hear, like, this movement, I think, that's taking place, especially after COVID, in that time huge. Where we reevaluated, we reassessed, is leading to people that are taking more control of their lives and feeling like they have more desire to end up where they want to go.
Well, yeah, I just like it. Before, it was like people felt like they didn't have the power within themselves, but it's like, no, like, you're taking that power back. And I don't mean that in like a prideful way, but almost like,
absolutely.
No, like, you got this, like, you have everything you need within yourself. Like, why wouldn't you be able to hit this goal or this dream or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's just a redistribution of power, in the sense of like, it's within everyone, instead of this, you know, omnipresent, whatever, like, oh, we can't reach this. No, it's within everyone.
Yeah. You know, you said before the interview started, I asked Keanu Lee, I said, is there anything that you would want to like have be the take home message, anything from them? And you said, just send it. And I kind of laughed. I'm like, oh man, you just proved you're 22 with that answer right there. I love it, right? So generational. But tell me, like, that mentality, send it. Like, what does that mean? And why is that the advice you'd give to other people out there?
Well, okay. I don't know if I was just like brainwashed as a kid because like I grew up. Okay, really quick backstory.
Go for it.
My dad growing up, I like wanted to read Fablehaven or something. And he was like, no. Before you read that, he's an entrepreneur. You got to read personal development books. So for every fantasy book, you need to have read a personal development book. So by the time I was done reading the personal development book, I was like, I don't want to read another book. Like, whatever. So then it would restart. So I ended up reading like a lot of personal development books. And so I don't know if I was just like brainwashed at like a young age to just like, do it.
Yeah.
Like the Shia LaBeouf, just do it, you know? But like, I just genuinely feel like because I was those thoughts at a very, very young age, small, it was very small and incremental.
Yeah.
Okay. First it was like Think and Grow Rich. And then it was like Robert Kiyosaki. And then it was seven habits of high success people. Like, yep. You know, all these different things. And I think that slow exposure and being in that environment slowly then created that. So I think people, it's like, yeah, I'm all about just sending it because it's like, A, I think I was brainwashed, but B, it's like, why wouldn't you? Like, there's so many, like, that's why having community is so important because you see other people doing all these awesome things. There's literally no difference between you and that other person. Maybe looks, background, whatever, but like you are specifically have a very specific set of attributes and qualities that only you in this freaking world like have. So like, go figure out what that is and then like capitalize on, execute on that, right? So I think once people really like understand who they are, then it's so much more easier to send it. It's so much more easier. It takes time, but it just, you know what? I just think it's so exciting when everyone has all this potential and like within themselves. And once they like really realize that, then it's like, why wouldn't I go reach all my dreams and do all these awesome things?
I love that you, to me, just encapsulated the idea of the passion economy, right? Like this world where you know there's no limits, that your potential is greater than ever before. And there shouldn't be a difference between, you know, your job and what you do to enjoy, you know, like jobs shouldn't be a place that we suffer and we dread going to.
Oh no.
And I think, you know, even the phrase you used earlier of a workaholic, right? That comes from a mindset of working too much is bad.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you think through that, like you're a workaholic, really what that means is you love what you do and it's fulfilling and it's exciting. So you don't leave it at the office. Yeah. You bring it home.
No, literally. That's the biggest thing. It's like, I think what's his face? I'm not sure if it was Jay Shetty or if it was Gary Vee, but he's like, if you really love what you're doing, like you should be working all the time because like that's what fuels you. That's what gives you life.
Yes.
So like for me personally, it's like, yeah, I work a lot, but it's not like in the work of like, oh, I don't want to show up. And no, it's like I'm furthering my goals and helping other people. Like why wouldn't I be obsessed with that and try it all the time? So yeah, workaholic in like the best way possible, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think it's cool too, because I think a lot of people understand that when they are the entrepreneur, it's their business or that, you know, everything's on the line for them, but you're feeling that like working for a company, working for an organization. Why? Because you like what you do and you like what you do there. And I think, you know, it doesn't mean go quit your day job and just go live out your hobby. You know, like how do you just make your quote unquote day job something that is fulfilling?
Yeah. And that can take time.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, as you were mentioning that, I thought about how, you know, there's just so many different ways in which like this, the whole idea, I think maybe from the past, it wasn't as accessible to like see all these different people doing all these awesome things. Like you go on freaking Instagram and like there are people like out there rollerblading to like really techie people to like finance bros. They're like all doing hustles and doing amazing things. Mm-hmm. So like you have community wherever you look, like every side of this, you know, planet has a community and there's people doing awesome things in that. So whereas before you couldn't see that, I think now people can see that and they're like, oh, like, yeah, there is a way to make, you know, a living or at least like I have impact, you know? And I feel like sometimes you have to go through seasons of, I don't like what I'm doing, but it's cause it's not always just, you know, dandelions, but it takes work. But when you're super clear on what you want to become and like what you're working towards and like begin with the end in mind kind of idea.
Yeah.
Then the harder sides of things, like the work, actual work, like that is not fun, becomes like, oh, it makes sense because I'm working towards this bigger and better thing.
Yeah.
So
let me ask this question kind of as we start to wrap up. You said beginning with the end in mind. I'm curious for you, like you're just at the start, right? Like, or I guess a better way to say it is you're in the middle, right? Like we're always in the middle, but where for you, like, do you want to take all of this? Where are your dreams? Like, where would you feel like I just crushed it? What is it?
Well, and this is a funny thing. Like I've been talking to a lot of my friends about this, but like you hit different levels and you start dreaming bigger and bigger. So like in high school, I wasn't trying to manifest opportunities that I've had in these last 2 years. Right. So now I'm like, okay, what's my next big level and what's the next, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think different seasons in your life, you'll have bigger dreams as you continue to accomplish them.
Yeah.
But my biggest passion, is just empowering people and and being a tool and a source of inspiration. And so what does that look like? You know, I want to be able to, this is so silly, but like there needs to be a Latina version of freaking Tony Robbins, and I want to be her. So like that kind of vibe is like my big vision.
I love it.
Big, big vision. But I want to inspire people at that level. And I think if people see that, they will, more and more people will become like that. So
I feel like I need to be like, if you agree with that, say I like just fully how Tony Robbins does that. Just so much energy. And you know, what's cool is you say that and that's possible.
Yeah.
You know, like how cool is it that we're in a world where you're saying like, oh, that's a pipe dream. You're going to go to the moon. You're like, no, you know that you're already on the path of creating communities, bringing people together. And I think the difference, like in 20 years, will be there won't be one Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
There will be so many people that have their communities and have different things just probably, because there's more ideas and there's more people out there willing to share it.
Exactly. Well, and what's cool is like, I mean, there's just so many like communities. I mean, there's still people out there in the world that like are so removed from the, like, you know, the internet and like you think about like Web3, like people don't even like, there's even people that are not even at like Web2 or Web1, you know what I mean? So like the market, if you think about it, is only growing more and more. So there's going to be an even more and more bigger need to empower and inspire people. And so it's really exciting when you think about it at that like scale of like, wow, like all these possibilities are there out there and like, who's going to take it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of the jobs that we might be in 20 years aren't even invented right now.
Oh, I'm going to go down that rabbit hole. That is.
I won't. You've said Web3 like 4 times and I'm like, I'm not taking that bait. We're not talking Web3 today. We had an interview like several ago where I talked to a guy that was all like in the metaverse with the game Upland.
Okay,
he's
cool.
Like become the number one influencer with that game, like kind of crazy, this niche. And it was hilarious because I put that episode out and I had so many people that loved it. And then I had a lot of people that messaged me like, I don't know what that dude was doing walking about. Like, what was, you lost me there, Connor. I'm like, I was kind of lost too, but here we are.
It's okay. We're all learning.
Well, that's awesome. Where can my audience follow you and help support your community and help support Latinas in Tech?
Yeah. So for the local listeners out there, please check out, you know, whether, okay. So multiple invites. Okay.
All right.
Just cause all about connecting my field of my community. So if you're, you know, Latina out there in tech or not, find us on Instagram, Latinas in Tech, Utah. Also the international, organization has just a general Latinas in Tech page on LinkedIn. We're on LinkedIn, Instagram, our website. But if you're just here, if you're locally and, you know, immigrant or multicultural, if you identify with any of those things, we're constantly having meetups. You can find me, Kiana Lee, just on LinkedIn or on Instagram. And then from there, I have all my other stuff tagged and everything. So that's just an easier call to action.
Love
but
it.
If honestly,
I'll put it in the show notes too.
Yes, yes. I'll send the thing. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is just depending on if you're in technology or not, if you're thinking about it, just start being a part of those conversations, like going to those meetups that we have and different stuff like that. You can start having your eyes open to what the possibilities are.
Yeah, I love that. And then send it.
Oh, are you kidding? Full send.
Full send. We all need to live our life in more of a full send mentality.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I wish you the best of luck. Thank you. I really love what you're doing and the spirit in which you're doing it. So keep it up. Keep that rolling. I end every episode the same way. I did warn her. Clowns to the left me. Jokers to the right. Here I am stuck in the middle with you. Gen Z. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Thanks for listening. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in.